And welcome back to Right Spokane Perspective on this Man Things Are Looking Up this Monday episode. You know, we're going to jump into a whole lot of things that are looking better in just a moment after inspiration.
Our inspiration today is surprising faith lesson. One bright spring day, my family chose to spend the afternoon deep in the earth. We were enjoying a tour in the world's longest known cave system, Mammoth Cave, in south central Kentucky. As we entered a huge space called Methodist Church, the guide explained how the area had been used in the 1800s for church services. At this point, our guides demonstrated how little illumination a single oil lantern provides, the only source of light available during that time period. As an April Fool's joke, they informed us that the rest of the tour would be conducted in this way. The electric lights were switched off, and 50 people immediately crowded as close as possible to the guide holding the solitary lantern. All of us breathed one big collective sigh of relief as we figured out that our guides had only been teasing. The lights came back on, and we resumed our tour. But my thoughts kept returning to that instinctive movement we all made the instant the lights went off. I wondered if I would do the same thing in everyday life. When I can't seem to find my way out of a problem or a trial, do I automatically draw near to the one who called himself the light of the world? Jesus promised that as long as I follow him, he will provide all the light I need to guide me on my journey. Life will take some unexpected turns. I won't always understand what is happening or why God allows certain things, but I have Jesus's words and his life portrayed in the scriptures. And I have his continuing presence to lead me. No need to stumble around in the darkness when I can draw near to his light. Heavenly Father, we ask you to continue to shed light on those areas of our lives where there may be a difficult problem or situation that only you can help us get through. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, you know, it's kind of surprising when the light suddenly go out. But you know, it's really surprising sometimes when you look at governance and the lights magically go on somehow. You know, you just check out the news and you're thinking, wow, what a change in government, where the drug cartels now have decided that they don't want to continue the opioid war on the United States. And drug cartels are now getting into growing food. And instead of using the labor illegally crossing the border and coming up into the country with fentanyl and other drugs, they're actually going to be producing food. So now much of the illegal alien population has headed back down south to their countries of origin to grow food for the drug cartels instead of sending fentanyl. So amazing turn in the news. You know, and we also saw the federal government pass a budget that was a balanced budget and are actually going to start paying off the national debt, just like the city of Spokane, that $50 million hole we talked about a week ago. Our new mayor surprisingly found savings in some of the wasted funds that the city council had been spending. And so no longer will she be asking for a tax increase or threatening law enforcement's ability to respond. So wonderful news, except it's April Fool's. None of that's true. Instead, what we're seeing is the federal government passing more spending. Lawmakers unveiled a $1.2 million spending package, and we see that our federal government is spending every 100 days $1 trillion. The spending hasn't slowed down. It's almost like we still have the crazy virus, but apparently we still do have the crazy virus, and most of the outcomes of that virus and the side effects happen to be forgetting how much money you're already spending. And so at the local level, we see a lot more spending going on. And it's kind of insane, especially like that last April Fool's thing about the city budget that I talked about. It's nowhere near balanced. And in fact, they're looking at spending more money. So here's an interesting story about the STA.
This time, instead of a garbage truck falling into a sinkhole, it'll be a bus?
Yes, it will be a bus that falls into the sinkhole, except the budget that's going to be paying for it, it's not the STA, it's going to be the city of Spokane taxpayer through COVID funds. And what's interesting is that there could be long-term consequences. And I'll just get it right from the article. This was in the Spokesman Review on Friday of last week. Their free bus fare proposed for nearly 9 weeks during Expo 74 anniversary celebrations. So right from the article, Spokane's elected leadership wants it to be free to ride the bus in Spokane County for nearly 9 weeks. On Thursday, the city council voted 5-2 to support free fare from May 4th to July 4th, indicating the city would be willing to funnel $100,000 in unspent COVID-19 relief funds to offset some of the costs. To offset some of the costs? I'm kind of wondering where the rest of the money is going to come from, because I don't think having a system-wide free fares is only going to cost $100,000. And of course, they're using COVID money that they should be probably spending somewhere else. This is in quotations. Just like Expo was a turning point in the history for Spokane, this would be another way to energize that, said Councilman Zach Sapone. Kitty Klitsky argued that free fare is more than a simple cost savings for commuters. It could help reduce friction for people who have not used the bus system ever or in some time. Councilman Paul Dillon noted that the environmentalism was a central theme of Expo 74 and argued that encouraging people to take the bus instead of driving downtown during the 50th anniversary celebration would align with that value. Mayor Lisa Brown has also voiced support for the proposal. Councilman Michael Cathcart and Jonathan Bingle, who voted against the resolution, raised a number of objections, including that the proposal came at the last minute. Part of the frustration does come from, we hear all the time about how much money STA has, Bingle said. Considering our people are taxed to pay for this service, I don't think we need to give them any more money.
So you're not going to tell me April Fools, are you?
No, this isn't April Fools. No, it's going to be free bus fare for STA, and they don't want to listen to any objections. This city council, even though our city budget has a giant hole in it, they just, let's give more free stuff. Just more free stuff, free over there, while contemplating how they're going to raise taxes and fees on the rest of the citizens. Where's the free ride for us? There is no free ride. We're going to pay double because we're going to have to fill the hole in the budget with something. So on this issue, Cathcart also noted that the city is undergoing an extensive analysis of its unspent American Rescue Plan Act funds and thought that it was improper to agree $100,000 without going through that process, because, of course, you got to spend that money in the right places. And I think free bus fare is probably not a good way for us to spend supposed one-time COVID dollars when we have a city budget that's in the hole. This is new spending. This isn't filling budget holes, which is what they should be looking at doing.
Well, and I'm going to point out there's a little more to this story, because we have two representatives. We have Representative Michael Cathcart and we have Representative Jonathan Bingle, who represent the first district, okay, which happens to be downtown Spokane. Northeast Spokane, okay. The rest of the people on the council are all from the South Hill.
Northwest District.
Or Northwest. None of our representatives are on that STA board. So none of our representatives are privy to any of those conversations until it's brought to council. And
well, the
to
STA
my
board
knowledge,
actually had a different discussion about it. They were looking at having just one of the bus routes, Route 11 in that area, be only 50 cents to ride Route 11. So the board was going to, you know, obviously 50th anniversary, only 50 cents to ride the bus instead of $2 or whatever. They were going to do a promotion, but it wasn't going to be all across the city. Whereas I don't think that they know what kind of cost it's going to actually be. They're going to use some COVID monies, but what if they go above and beyond? Because when you create free rides and it gets advertised, people that don't need to go somewhere, they're just like, cool, we'll go hang out on the bus because it's getting hot outside and there's AC in the bus, then there's, you know, no buy-in for those riders that actually need to go, you know, the people that need to go somewhere on the buses, but people that don't need to go anywhere, they're just going to go hang out on the buses.
And I think the STA board had a good idea on at least going with 50 cents per rider, because what we're going to have is it actually creates a safety hazard for our bus drivers, because now we may or may not have the homeless people that we have or that we see hanging out on the street corners. Now they're going to be hanging out in the buses all day long, riding back and forth, which causes a problem for our bus drivers because now they're going to have to be the ones to break up miscommunications or fights or deal with the drug addicted population that is possibly having overdoses on our buses.
So what the STA board did with the 50 cents was only to ride on Route 11 from the Spokane Arena to a block south of Riverfront Park because people are going to be paying parking fees to be up near the arena and around the arena, and then they could get a free or 50-cent bus ride down to the celebration, which seems reasonable promotionally, but no, the city council just says free. So employee representatives also raised safety concerns, arguing that free fare caused a spike in violence on the buses. In quotations here, I want to make sure that everyone is aware that we do have documented evidence that when we went free fare for COVID and free fare for our youth, that we have had an increase in safety issues on the bus, said Rhonda Bowers, a non-voting member of the board representing transit employees. Tim Hattenberg of the city of Spokane Valley, deputy mayor, concurred that that was an issue. So just more stupid decisions by our city council and local government. And I don't know why Lisa Brown would be supporting this use of funds if they haven't even gone through the process, if these funds could be used to help plug a hole in the budget. Like, oh, it's just $100,000. Well, is it? Is STA going to end up billing the city for much more ridership that they didn't anticipate? And then they're going to have a bigger hole in the budget? I wouldn't be surprised. But there's all sorts of other fun things going on where city is spending our money. In fact, it looks like the city of Spokane's library system is going to be partnering with a developer to utilize land. And this developer actually is a nonprofit that is looking to house refugees and immigrant populations. And they're going to use library property and they're going to be using library funds so that they can have like an interactive library for the people that will be living in this apartment complex in Northeast Spokane. And so they're going to create 45 housing units. And then once those 45 affordable housing units are built, they're going to go ahead and this is on library property. They're going to be using taxpayer funds. And they, what they're saying, they're going to create a 24/7 library. I don't know how they're going to fund that necessarily, but it looks like the library run amenities will be funded using bond dollars from the voter approved $77 million library bond in 2018. So again, we just saw the passage of another library bond, but we're now going to use a past library bond to partner with a nonprofit developer for refugees and immigrants, it says, and for a 24/7 library for the people housed there. I'm not quite sure the voters were told that that's what the levy and bond money was going to be used for, but that's what's going to happen. I'm sure it's going to cost millions of dollars. And when they come back for more money, they're just going to be threatening our own local libraries that we already have. And now they're partnering with Thrive International for refugees and immigrants. Well, that's our tax dollars at work. And again, that's not an April Fool's joke. That's actually where some of that money is going to be going. So I guess, you know, maybe all those people that live in that affordable housing will get a free bus pass too. Maybe our city council plugged a hole in the budget by giving out free bus passes. Not sure how the math works out on that, but apparently it's April Fool's every day in the city of Spokane for those that actually pay their fares and pay their taxes. More headlines that are not April Fool's jokes, because it's no joke when you're a citizen in Washington State in the city of Spokane and a taxpayer as they burn through the budgets just like the federal government and create more costs, less affordable living, and a barrage of bad policies that keep coming from halls of elected offices. What do you got over there, Shannon?
Well, I want to go back to, you mentioned COVID funds. And this doesn't have anything to do with funds necessarily. Of course, this is out of the Spokesman Review back from Tuesday, March 12th. I'm pretty sure we've all heard of John Stockton is suing the state AG's office over COVID speech limits. Now, this is not an April Fool's joke, and I am going to say, yoo-hoo, go John.
So this is back from the middle of March that there was a news report that John Stockton is suing the Attorney General, Washington State?
Yes, over COVID speech limits. It says basketball legend John Stockton has taken his disdain for COVID-19 restrictions to a federal courtroom, initiating a lawsuit with other plaintiffs against the Washington State Office of Attorney General over pandemic rules that restrict doctors from speaking against, quote, the mainstream COVID narrative, end quote. Because if you're a doctor and there's a disease and you're giving people shots or you're treating them, you should be able to talk to the public to tell them what's really going on and not be hamstrung by somebody else saying that you're not allowed to speak, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So it leaves room for dozens of unidentified physicians believed to have also been warned over their COVID-19 speech. Rick Jaffe, one of Stockton's attorneys on the case, said it's ultimately about free speech. The only thing we're interested in is the First Amendment issue, he said. Does the medical board have the constitutional authority to investigate, prosecute, and sanction doctors for writing articles, posting blogs on websites, and speaking out in public, even if the government or the medical board thinks what they are saying is wrong or dangerous?
Well, we'll see if that lawsuit is something that's going to come positive fruition for him or not. And I just think I'm surprised we don't see more people suing the government over the COVID policies, kind of like the COVID spending, you know, because when was the last time the common cold paid for a bus pass? You know, we see federal spending. We started out the show with a joke about federal spending, you know, going down in their common sense, coming to the halls of Congress, but they're spending money as if we're still in the middle of some pandemic crisis. The spending didn't go down. They're just throwing money everywhere.
Well, and most of it is, you know, their attorney pointed out how the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention changed its stances on COVID-19 multiple times. He said, gagging doctors from sharing their own views on the virus is really hurting the public in a great time of uncertainty. And I really didn't think that there would be anybody that would ever be able to put a gag on our doctors. Like, we're supposed to be able to trust our doctors. We're supposed to be able to go to the doctor and know that their best intentions in keeping us alive and breathing and not sick are going to be at their best. You go in, you sit down, you speak with your doctor on a personal level. They're supposed to know you. So I hope John and the rest of the unnamed people take it all the way, and I hope that the Lord smiles on them and they prevail.
Yeah, hopefully they win their lawsuit, because it really, doctors are just practicing, right? And the people that are controlling the doctors in these cases are not just practicing. These are bureaucrats. These are elected officials that are using places of power to enforce tyranny on the citizenry.
And it's not just places of power, though. They are using donations that they're given, monies that they're given to sell their pharmaceuticals or to get them put into an elected office from certain pharmaceutical companies that have nothing to do with you and your doctor sitting in that room making the best decision for your care.
Yeah, for forced vaccination, forced healthcare expenses. But the taxpayers are paying for it, right? You know, it's just going, the national debt will just buy a couple of more $100 million vaccines. And then the state can mandate them and demonize employers that don't want to take them or force their employees to take them.
Or how about fire people that won't take them?
Yeah.
Well, take away their pensions, take away their retirements.
I'm still surprised there haven't been lawsuits from the fatal accidents that were on state highways during that time when
due to lack of snow removal,
when they had all the snow. Yeah, it was awful. I had to travel those roads and it was awful. There was like fatality accidents. There was awful, awful accidents stuff. And I haven't seen it since. And I had never seen it that bad before because they just told all the plow truck drivers to go home because they wouldn't take the jab. So I'm surprised there hasn't been more lawsuits on our government because of just the total mishandling of that. And of course, obviously there's lots of money they should be able to pay out from these lawsuits. If they can use COVID money for paying for bus passes, I'm sure they can use COVID money for paying off lawsuits for the mishandling of the cough.
You know, we could actually use the COVID money for fentanyl education in our schools so that maybe we can cut off the dead fingers that are killing our society.
Well, I think maybe the COVID money that hasn't been spent should go back to the treasury. Maybe we should try to curb inflation and not just blow the money like we're doing at the federal level all over the place. And when it comes to the fentanyl crisis, bust all the drug cartels and take their money, build some prison cells, and hold people accountable for selling drugs on the streets, get the drugs off the streets. And
well, instead, City Council this last Monday had some speaking to do on a resolution asking Governor Inslee to declare a statewide emergency in regards to largely on fentanyl and the wake of the drug overdose crisis.
Well, that kind of seems interesting because I think that Governor Inslee is the one that decided that we were a sanctuary state. And so the drug cartels could go ahead and do business here because police can't ask for papers. They can't ask for information. And obviously, if the police are handcuffed and can't do their job when it comes to pulling people over to find out who these people are, they're probably not searching as many vehicles for the drugs. In fact, I think most of the drug busts that I've seen done from state law enforcement in our state were done because of drive-by shootings, because they found the drugs in vehicles that had created massive accidents. So, yeah, big failure in the Inslee administration and our city council. I think they're a little late on the fentanyl crisis declaration. I think everybody else has kind of realized this for a long time.
Well, in Spokane, the number of daily overdose calls increased by 30% between 2023 and 2024. According to the resolution, today, an average of more than 6 overdoses is called into the police dispatch daily, according to the resolution. In 2023, law enforcement in Spokane seized nearly 200,000 illicit fentanyl pills from the public, along with 81 grams of powder, which is enough to produce 50,000 more pills. If the council passed the resolution, Spokane officials will be sending a copy of to the office of Inslee asking him to declare a statewide emergency order. Spokane would be the first municipality to ask the state to declare an emergency order. Governor's office spokesperson Mike Folk said an emergency order would not do much to help the state's opioid epidemic. There's really not that much that we have available to us that an emergency order would do here, Folk said. Staff already looked a lot into it. The main thing with emergency orders is to free up state resources or cut red tape to make it easier to deliver resources. There is not a lot of that applicable here.
Well, of course.
When the state legislature was in session, however, Folk said his office was telling the public that state lawmakers were better positioned to pass laws to combat opioid epidemic. Isn't that funny? Because I don't think they even allowed those bills to come out of committee.
No, the legislature did almost nothing. I mean, they did add a bunch of money to the spending, like we've said on this show, but they're not going to stop the drug cartels. They're not looking at arresting or holding people accountable. And they're not going to force people into treatment like they should. And of course, a lot of the treatments were just trading one drug for another. So, you know, go ahead and ask for a crisis declaration and play politics on this. And it's not really going to make a difference. Of course, most of the time, emergency declarations are just to free up money. It's about getting other governments to provide you money, resources. Oh, we got an emergency. We need money. well, did this city government actually utilize its money well in the past when it came to the opioid crisis? No, they didn't. The problem's gotten worse, just like the homeless crisis that they quadrupled the spending in last year.
Well, and there was one bill that Inslee signed that did, I will correct myself, one bill did make it through because Inslee did sign a bill advocating for tribes fighting the opioid epidemic. So Governor Inslee says, we know there is no one solution to the problem. It's not just a treatment. It's not just education. It's not just law enforcement. It's not just therapy. It is all of these things. So a stack of bills tackling opioid awareness and prevention and legislation advocating for Washington tribes was signed into law.
Right, that's on the tribal lands.
That's on the tribal lands, but along with $7.75 million, or 20% of the funds deposited into the opioid abatement settlement account from the previous fiscal year, whichever is greater, to be annually given to the tribes to address the opioid crisis. The funds came from the settlement money and can be used for treatment programs, education, prevention, and recovery services.
That's great. So they're going to spend some of the money from the lawsuit at the tribal level, and that's fine. That's a tribal jurisdiction, and they do have major addiction problems on some of the reservation lands. But in all reality, they're not. What's the education piece going to be that they're going to use? A lot of it's just going to be marketing, health departments, the state agency for health, and, you know, they're going to do advertisement, don't do fentanyl. They're going to have some crazy jingle. They're going to buy lots of airtime.
Well,
and it's not going to stop the problem. It's just going to get worse because the way you have to solve this problem is get the people that are trafficking the drugs off the streets, get the drugs off the streets, add law enforcement, and they didn't do it. And they're not going to do it.
No, but prevention is good. And getting in and talking to our students about opioids and
not doing drugs.
Abuse, yeah, instead of critical race theory, I think would probably be more beneficial.
But that's not what they're going to do.
Well, but that's what they should do so we can keep our kids off the streets, keep the drugs out of the hands of our kids.
Yeah. Well, and let them know that, you know, these drugs are being pressed into pharmaceutical-looking drugs that go around the schools, you know, like Adderall and other drugs like that. But that's not what they're going to do. I mean, there'll probably be some education maybe in the health curriculum and their PE classes, but we're not really going to see a whole lot of enforcement. We're not going to see added law enforcement around schools to keep the drug dealers away that are selling the pills to the minors. And I don't see any jail space being added in this state when we have a state that does nothing but celebrate releasing people from jails and having a smaller jail population while the crime rates are going through the roof in this state. We've talked about it. Violent crime is up. Property crimes are up. Robberies are up. There is not a single area of crime that I know of that is not up in Washington state.
Well, maybe our friends over in the Spokane Valley, we just spoke with Councilwoman Yeager this last week. They seem to be so good at budgeting their money. Maybe they will be able to build a new jail in the valley.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think they want the jail there. I think they want the criminal element to stay in Spokane.
Well, but I think they want accountability.
And stay west of their city, which it's really easy to see that happening since the city of Spokane Valley is really close to Idaho, and Idaho doesn't put up with the criminal activity like Washington does. So we're going to have to see if we end up with a new government, a new legislature, new governor, I should say, because, you know, elections have consequences, and we've had the same knuckleheads in there for a very long time.
Term limits.
Yeah. Yeah, diapers need changing often.
And so do representatives.
And so do politicians, yeah. Well, at least the bad ones. I mean, you want to keep the good ones in there. Anyhow, April Fools, it seems like the biggest fools are those in government that keep saying the same things over and over again, rerun for office saying that they've improved it, they've made it better, they've stopped criminal activity, they're spending our money wisely. Yeah, I don't think that's what's happened at all. And I think we're also fools for allowing them to get away with it and letting them get reelected. So hope everyone's ready to vote this year. All that being said, we'll be with you folks again tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Right Spokane Perspective. We are sponsored by Right Spokane Perspective LLC and made possible by advertisers you hear and contributions from listeners like you.